Now there's a nice Christmas bumper. Jerry Bader Show, 9:35. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. It's cold. It's already snowed. It's going to snow again. You would think I'm going to get my Christmas shopping done. No. I'll do what I always do. I want to pick up on the topic that I left off going into the news. Started with an email from a listener who couldn't believe the way the media, and quite frankly, apparently this writer didn't hear Mark Levin last night. Mark Levin was just glowing in his praise of Nelson Mandela. This emailer felt that the media is not paying attention to the Nelson Mandela that went into prison and the things that he did and sanctioned and sponsored. I want to pick up DeRoy Murdoch, Nelson Mandela, RIP. The example of Ayatollah Khomeini was fresh in our minds. He's talking about when Mandela was going to be released from prison. He went swiftly from exile in Paris to edicts in Tehran and quickly turned Iran into a vicious and bloodthirsty dictatorship at the vanguard of militant Islam. Nelson Mandela was just another Fidel Castro or Pol Pot, itching to slip from behind bars, savage his country, and surf atop the bones of his victims. Wrong. Far, far, far from any of that. Nelson Mandela turned out to be one of the 20th century's great moral leaders. Right up there with Mahatma Gandhi and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He also was a statesman of considerable weight, if not as significant on the global stage as FDR, Winston Churchill, and Ronald Reagan. He approaches Margaret Thatcher as a national leader with major international reach. Mandela invited the warden of Robben Island Prison to his inauguration as president of South Africa. Do you know how stunning that is? He sat him front and center. While most people would be tempted to lock up their jailers if they had the chance, Mandela essentially forgave him while the whole world and his own people, white and black, were watching. This quietly sent South Africa's white population a message. Calm down. This will be okay. It also signaled to black South Africans, now is no time for vengeance. Let's show our former oppressors that we are greater than that and bigger people than they were to us. As Morgan Freeman and Matt Damon beautifully dramatized in the excellent film Invictus, Mandela resisted the ANC's efforts to strip the national rugby team of its long-standing name, the Springboks, seen as a symbol of apartheid. Mandela's black colleagues were eager to give the team a new, less white identity. Mandela argued that white South Africans, stripped of political leadership and now quite clearly in the minority, should not be deprived of the one small point of pride behind which they could shield their anxieties. Mandela then championed the team. He attended its games and rallied both blacks and whites behind it as a national sports organization rather than an exclusive totem of South Africa's white minority. Mandela's easy manner, warmth, and decency shone through and gave South Africans a common point of unity amid so many opportunities for division. As an American, it would be nice right now to have a leader who could bring our nation together rather than pound one wedge after another into our dispirited population. More on that in a moment. Mandela's economic record deserves deeper analysis later. However, for now, it's worthwhile. His economic record deserves more scrutiny later. However, for now, it's worthwhile to remember that he came to power in 1994, less than a half decade after the Iron Curtain collapsed and the triumph of scientific socialism was exposed as a cruel and hollow fantasy. Rather than follow that vanquished model, Mandela looked to economic growth as the path his nation should follow. Among other things, he sold off stakes in South African Airways, utilities, and other state-owned companies. While some wish he had gone further, this was a far cry from the playbook of Marx and Lenin. So I was dead wrong about Nelson Mandela, a great man and fine example to others, not least to the current occupant of the White House. After 95 momentous years on Earth, may Nelson Rolihlahla Mandela rest in peace. That is an absolutely brilliant piece. Now, there are those who say, well, you cannot excuse his early life. He spent 20-some years in prison. and apartheid exceeded America's Jim Crow, and it was a modern evil, is what it was. Is he a saint? No. Martin Luther King Jr. a saint? No. Do most great men and women often have feet of clay? Yes. Now, I know in Mandela's case it goes beyond that, but the point here is not look at what he was when he went to prison and look at what he became when he left. As this piece points out, nobody expected him to do that. Nobody expected him to be the uniter and reconciler that he was. All right. There are several semi-veiled references in that piece to Barack Obama. And as President Obama always does, he took the occasion of Nelson Mandela's death to talk about himself and somehow try to compare himself to Nelson Mandela. Breitbart picks up on this. And the media is too, by the way. The media is too. The Breitbart website picks up on this. The comparison is so crude as to be laughable, but given the mainstream media's immediate linkage of the two and President Barack Obama's insistence on talking about himself in his eulogy for Nelson Mandela, it must be said, Obama is no Mandela. And they go on for the top five ways that that's true. For one thing, their societies are different. The U.S. bears no resemblance to post-apartheid South Africa. For another, Mandela chose to govern differently from Obama in many key respects. Number one, and this is everything. I want to spend some time on this one. Mandela was a uniter. Obama is a divider. And remember that he ran as a uniter. Remember that? That was the cornerstone of his campaign. Mandela was not above playing racial politics at times, but generally did all he could to bring people together in both real and symbolic ways. He famously donned this, and this again, and this was big. He famously donned the Springbok rugby jersey, once a symbol hated by blacks, to show solidarity with whites. Mandela left South Africa more united than when he took office. Obama will leave the U.S. more divided than when he began. That is undeniably true unless something miraculous were to happen in the next 3 years. And the suggestion that it's divided because of racism against him is laughable. He's done everything he can to divide. Next, and this is big. Mandela obeyed the Constitution and the courts. Obama flouts both. Mandela not only signed a Constitution that guaranteed individual rights and constraints on state power, but made an impressive show of subjecting his administration to the will of the courts. Obama, by contrast, is ignoring court rulings and greatly expanding, I think unconstitutionally, his executive powers. Three, Mandela was fiscally responsible. Obama is profligate. Mandela's administration adopted a policy of macroeconomic stability in 1995, putting sound budgets and economic growth before redistribution, resisting massive internal pressure to spend liberally on the poor. Obama, by contrast, has expanded the national debt massively with little to show for it in either terms of economic growth or addressing economic inequality. For example, take Wednesday's speech. That is practically the anti-Mandela. His recovery has been a disaster. And what is his thing? Well, more faith in government to help the poor. Are you kidding me? This is also huge. Mandela reached out to the opposition. Obama ignores them. Mandela fought pitched political battles, first with F.W. de Klerk's National Party, and then with Tony Leon's centrist Democratic Party, now the Democratic Alliance. Yet, he reached out constantly to his opponents and met frequently with them. Obama, however, barely bothers to consult his opponents and makes a point of marginalizing it. And let me stop there. Think about this. He does. That's what he does. He marginalizes, berates, mocks, and humiliates the opposition. This is exactly what Mandela was expected to do. Because he did go into prison an angry, violent Marxist. There's no denying that. He came out something very different. That's why the signals that he sent at his inauguration, as pointed out in the piece I read, were huge. It sent a signal to whites and blacks. Whenever has President Obama sent that type of unifying signal or message? He claims to, but then his real words belie that. Finally, and probably most importantly, Mandela was humble. Obama is arrogant. South Africans share stories of seeing Mandela walking down the highway on his daily exercise or being greeted warmly by him as if by an old friend. He was a larger-than-life figure who was self-effacing, if dignified, in his bearing. Obama, however, built himself a fake Greek temple and refers to himself constantly, elevating himself crudely above the nation he was elected to lead. That is all very well put. He has nothing in common with Nelson Mandela. Nothing. Nothing important, anyway, in what matters. And conservatives like the one who sent me the email that don't understand what Nelson Mandela became and the legacy he left, that's very unfortunate. It's 9:47.
The Jerry Bader Show.